1240 AM WSBC. Yeah. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour.
Yeah.
This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. There's one in Beverly and in Bridgeport here in Chicagoland. Yeah. Say hello to Billy Guidi, the proprietor, and tell him the Hooli's sent you. Fox's Beverly Pizza.
Yeah.
Finest thin crust tavern style pizza on Western Avenue. Yes. Flood Brothers Disposal. You got garbage.
Yeah.
Hot garbage. Call the Flood Brothers. They'll come and pick it up. Madden Funds.
Yep.
If you have any money left, call the Maddens and they'll help you protect it and invest it in the right things.
That's right.
And Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you. My name's Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. Joining me as always
to my left is my
twin brother, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah.
For all of you listeners last week, we're back from vacation. We went to
back from the vacay.
Back from the family vacation.
Yep.
We went up to the New Buffalo, Michigan area.
Yeah, the Irish Riviera.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely time. And
yes, we did.
Now school is back.
That's correct.
We went there. I took my kids up there with you, Bill.
Yeah.
And mom and dad.
Yeah.
And my two children.
It was fun.
And myself. And we didn't do much. We just went to the beach, and it was nice. And we got lucky. Got a couple of nice beach days.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of people on the beach because everybody kind of left the week before.
That's the best.
And it was lovely. But now the kids are back to school, and
reality sets in.
It's like
new problems, like new things.
Yeah, not new problems. Just Indian summer is upon us, Bill.
Yeah.
Right.
I love Indian summer.
So do I. High school football is starting. I'm such a nerd. I'm getting nerdy for high school football. Mount Carmel is ranked, our alma mater is ranked number one.
Yeah, I saw
this
that.
Year.
Loyola is number three.
Yep.
I don't know. I didn't see what Fenwick and Ignatius were ranked. All the big boys, they're usually in that. Rita, I don't know,
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun year. Those are Catholic League schools. My apologies to all my public school friends out there.
Right. You went to Catholic high school, so those schools don't exist in the football realm.
Some of it I follow as we get more into the state playoffs for high school, if I'm like real. But during the regular season, I'm kind of non-paying attention to what the public schools are doing. But I will say this.
Yes.
Fenwick's playing Oak Park this year to open their season at Toyota Park, which is kind of cool.
Yes.
So Westsiders,
We're getting hyper-local now for our listeners. Yes.
Yeah,
if you're from the Oak Park area, I don't think OPRF High School has played Fenwick, their arch rival, for 25
longer.
Years. Longer.
Yeah, I think the last time they played, maybe me and you were in sixth or seventh grade.
Yeah. Anyway, we're back from vacation.
Yeah.
We had a lovely time. Mikey and I have been at the pool all summer. My son, Mike, what a water rat nut. I mean, we went to the pool all summer, and then when he hits that lake, he's not bashful about just getting right in.
No, I was amazed that. He just dives right into the water, and I'm like, wow.
The rocks are brutal on your feet, getting in.
Yeah.
And Mikey's a smaller guy, so he can maneuver, but boy, when we got to the beach, he stayed in the water and the water was cold.
I thought it was good, all right.
It's not what the pool is, what I'm used to.
No.
But he was in the water for a good 2.5-3 hours at a time.
Yeah.
Without coming out, really.
Just wading around, doing his thing.
Yeah, it was awesome. Mike has a note. Mike Tarkowski, our producer. Waves. Were there a lot of waves? No. Low wave day. Kind of calm.
Yeah.
But
body surfing.
Yeah. But it was still fun, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Dad was like, Dad's getting too old for the beach, but he doesn't want to admit it, I think.
Right.
Right? He's down there, and he's like, the rocks, oh my God. He's like grabbing he could barely get in the water. I was worried about him. I thought he was going to take a header or fall down.
Well, that's why we got to get him the rock socks.
But then he goes right into the water, too,
He's just
74 years. Yeah, he's just, boom, loving it, Mike has a great note. What SPF was used?
I think we were wearing 50.
No, it was the highest possible.
Dad went to the supermarket, but he's like, I got the sunscreen. I was like, what'd you get? He's like, 50. And I was like,
I go.
So I guess no one's catching a tan.
Mike and I have been using the spray suntan lotion this summer at the pool.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's a couple dollars more.
Sure.
But much more even and easy to use, right? Uh-huh. Dad's like, no, it's a ripoff. He gets the big bucket of white lotion.
Yeah, the thick cream.
Yeah. He looks insane. You know, he looks like Mark Zuckerberg on that paddle board, you know, like, uh-huh. I'm like, and I'm like, you're supposed to rub it in when he's like down at the beach. It just looks like he has toothpaste all over him. You know, he's yeah. like, no, you're not. I go, it's 50. I go, God. He's like, I don't want to get skin cancer. I'm like, and he's got a lot of sunspots. I don't have them.
Yeah.
You know, they're age spots too, but he's like very cautious about that. But that was a fun part of the trip. And then we all went out to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't, that place was, what was that place called, Bill? You picked it.
Here's the thing I've noticed about when you're on vacation, and we didn't plan very well for this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're staying somewhere and you're planning on having dinner in something where like it's a high traffic vacation community, let's yeah. put it that way.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't wait till, you know, 7 o'clock on a Friday night to call a restaurant and see if you can find a reservation. Especially yeah. when it's like the season, it's a seasonal area. People leave and their, you know, kids are back in school, college kids go back to whatever. So restaurant, as somebody who's in the industry selling to these people every day, I know that they're way understaffed. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't find a place to eat. Finally, I must have called about like a half a dozen places, found this one spot. We go.
Yep.
Okay. And then we pull up and it's like in this weird little hotel that like looks like, and
like
it's
a bed and breakfast, yeah. like yeah. a little like, but it had like a, I don't know how to explain it, like a lodge, like a little lodge.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have stayed there. I wonder what kind of rate they're getting, but like it looked like it was trendy and people were enjoying it.
Right.
I did see people checking in and checking out. Like, well,
oh
like,
no,
oh,
it
wow.
was nice and rustic on the inside. Like yeah. it was decorated well, but when we got in, it looked crowded. And then we get in and we were the only people in the dining room. In the right. whole, in like the middle of this hotel, you know,
right,
like a la Newhart, you know, like uh-huh. there's a little bell and a chick, you know, a woman sitting there, and it did have kind of a Shining feel to it while we were all eating
a little bit, but the food was great.
What was the name of that place?
The Grove was the name of the restaurant.
Okay,
I don't
the food
know.
Was unbelievable.
Yeah,
but yes, that was an interesting evening when you go on vacation and you think when you're going to go out to dinner that you're going to be around other people on vacation or part of the community, and then we found that place and I felt like we were the only people in the whole in the dining room. It was bizarre
in the dining room area, yeah, because everybody else was sitting outside, but it was too hot for mom and dad.
Okay,
that's why we were inside.
Anyway, I like how and everybody who came through while we were eating
right,
like, hey, how you doing, real friendly, like introduce themselves,
you yeah know? They're like checking into the hotel. It's like we were, our table was like, felt like it was in the middle of a hotel lobby.
Yes.
That's why it kind of felt weird.
Yeah.
It's like people are like, are these people seriously having dinner in here right now? You know? You're like, yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And we can't find our server. They've been gone for 45 minutes.
Yeah. When we got there and we were the only table there, and then it took like 25 minutes to get a Coke.
Yeah, your head,
I was like,
your head starts kind of going, okay. Come on.
I was like, what's going on here? Like this, we've been here a long time. No one's coming by, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then and then things just, you know, it was a wonderful dinner, but it was strange.
There's a, you know, what was stranger though, that or when we went to the Lighthouse Mall as a family.
That was really, Dad couldn't take it. He hated it.
I hadn't been to I think it was the first time.
The only reason
where
we went
I was
there.
In a mall with you, Mom, and Dad.
Yeah.
And obviously my niece and nephew, like my whole family being in a mall with me, probably the first time in 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow. It was weird.
First time back at the mall together. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't exactly think it was the greatest family outing.
No,
we didn't last very long.
The only reason we decided to do that as a group was because it was raining on one of the days, our last day there. And I needed to go get the kids' backpacks. Why do kids need a new backpack every year? Every year you need a new backpack? It's a fashion statement.
Right.
But I was in charge of finding backpacks. So I figured, oh, let's go to the Lighthouse Mall. I'll get a backpack there. I haven't been there in years.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those outdoor courtyard kind of malls.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. It's an outlet mall.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And Mikey's like, where's the lighthouse? You know, and I'm like, there isn't one. You know, like,
there is one.
Is there?
Yeah. You got to look.
Okay.
You weren't paying attention. It's not like a big lighthouse.
But we weren't there. We go to this little, I was starving from being, I had already been at the beach earlier in that day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we got to get something to eat at the Lighthouse Mall.
Uh-huh.
And we find this little, like, it was like Mama Tita's pizza, you know? And I'm like, oh, I bet we can get a slice in here, you know?
Yeah.
This looks great.
Uh-huh.
It was so bizarre. like another weird, it said family owned business, right?
Yeah.
And I walked in and it was just like, it looks like an old Chuck E. Cheese that's been unbranded, right? Like,
okay.
And there's just like toaster ovens, like, you know, and the pizzas are personal pizzas. You don't get a slice, right? I go, can I get a slice? I go, no, we only do personal pizzas.
A little round like guys that they just pre-buy from somebody. Yeah, it's not like homemade pie.
Yeah. And I was like, so such a letdown. Once I ordered it, I saw her like take it out of like a wrapper and put it into like it was a tombstone, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, that was $16.
$16?
Because those Lighthouse, like everything's jacked up in the mall when you go and eat.
It was $16 for a personal pizza?
Yeah, it was like, with that and a bag of chips that they look like they got out of like
the— Hold on a second. You didn't, my head would have exploded. So a little tiny, like a Pizza Hut, like Book It pizza you might get, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like that you used to get when you read the book, you go to Pizza Hut, you get the little tiny little pan guy.
Yes.
That was $16?
With a soda and a bag of chips, yeah.
That better have been the best frozen pie you ever had in your life.
I was so hungry that I was just like, whatever.
There wasn't like a hot dog stand?
Dad goes, can I get a beef? They got beefs here?
Oh,
I go, there's no kitchen area. It looked like a bake sale. You know, like a guy with a little pizza oven sitting on a table that he's firing little frozen pizzas into. And then a cooler with pop in it. And then little individual bags of Frito-Lay chips, like the kind that you would have gotten like a huge, like, you know, box at the Jewel.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
And it was very David Lynch-esque, right? Like all the people in there, like there was a guy who was like a professional bodybuilder. He had like a tank top on. He was like all swole and ripped, you know?
Did he get some protein?
He was at the Under Armour store, you know, somewhere like, because he had like an Under Armour like tank top on.
Oh.
Yeah. And he walked in with like his kids in tow behind him.
Were they in Under Armour tank tops?
They were in athletic wear, you know.
The Under Armour family.
Yes, the Under Armour family.
Okay.
And the next David Lynch film.
Yeah.
David, where are we placing the Under Armour family for the next shot? I'd like him in the corner where that pizza machine is.
Did Under Armour dad have any tattoos, perchance? Did he have like a barbed wire?
He was bald. Okay. But kind of a shorter guy. He looked intense. Like he was like, everybody sit down, you know. And everyone's like, you know, like in control.
He probably didn't like paying $16 for a piece of pie either, though.
Well, he had to get a calorie intake in, so he didn't. You know, he was on a mission. It was work for that guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, very. It was weird. Everything about the weekend started just getting. Everybody outside of our family started to just seem weird. Like, and it wasn't what I don't, it was, we weren't that far out of water, or like, we're not fish out of water. We're not like way outside of the Chicago area.
Yeah.
But the mall, like, we went to that restaurant the night before. That was kind of odd. And then we went to the Lighthouse Mall, and then that got odd.
Yep.
Because then you guys were like, we're going to go shopping. I told Charlotte, go find the bags, and when you're done, find me and we'll pay for them.
I found the bags with her,
which was nice. Under Armour.
At Under Armour.
This is the Under Armour episode. It's turning into the Under Armour.
I like Under Armour, but I didn't see anything at the Lighthouse that piqued my interest.
I like the Under Armour.
Uh-huh.
Took on a character there for just like a half a sentence.
You ever had anybody say that to you? I like your Under Armour.
Yeah, I have. Because I own some Under Armour clothing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
People come up to me and go, oh, I like your Under Armour.
Okay.
I hope everybody has nice. You know where else you can get a compliment on your Under Armour?
Yeah, I know where.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, the listeners might not know.
You can wear it there, too.
You can wear it, maybe.
Well, I mean, you get compliments on it, and you can wear it with pride there.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
At the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. This show is presented by it. More Hoolies Hoolie after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Hey, listeners. I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery. Or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We are family. Is this Sly and the Family Stone or Sister Sledge? Sister Sledge.
Yep.
Kids, we're listening to Sister Sledge on the way home. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, we went to New Buffalo and we're back now. Mm-hmm. School has started. One story I got to tell.
Okay.
Haley, my ex, is like, hey, make sure you get the kids' backpacks, and Mikey needs a haircut. Can you get him a haircut before school starts?
Yeah
no problem.
Okay.
So we come home from New Buffalo on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Got home at like around noon. A little bit later in the afternoon, I'm like, oh, man, it's Sunday. There's not a lot of barbers open, you know, so I can't go to Victorio, my guy, normally.
Right.
And Mikey's been talking about, like, his hair was kind of, you know, long and tough from the pool and, like, you know, little sun bleached, and he looked like a surfer dude. His hair was long. And Mikey's like, I'm like, what kind of haircut do you want? He's like, I want Steve Harrington hair. Do you know who Steve Harrington is?
From Steve Harrington is the hair from the little show called Stranger Things.
Oh, the little. He starts with the little. Throwing me off there.
Sorry.
Anything's funnier with little in front of it, though.
It always is.
Yeah.
Or disappointing.
He's from
one
that,
or the other.
He's from that little Stranger Things show. Yeah, what's the actor's name? He went to DePaul. Joe something. Charlotte has a crush on him. She likes him. Everybody likes the world has gone mad for this Steve Harrington.
Yep.
Anyway, Mike's like, I want Steve Harrington hair. I'm like, well, then don't cut it, really. You know, get like a little bit of a trim and you can mousse it on top a little bit, I guess. Right.
Oh, okay.
I think that's how Steve Harrington wears his hair on Stranger Things.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe Keery is the actor's name.
Oh, an Irishman.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah, he is an Irishman.
Okay. Oh. So is Steve Harrington. So yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, the synergies. I'm like, okay, cool. And then a day later, Mikey's watching FGTV videos.
Duddy.
With Duddy.
The my
YouTube
nemesis.
Channel?
Yeah.
Duddy. Yeah. And
it's Duddy. Oh!
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like all day.
He is annoying. Very, very annoying.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey's like, oh, there's a kid. One of Duddy's kids has a haircut that Mikey decides that he wants.
I just had an idea. Jake Paul should challenge Duddy to a fight.
Nobody would know. Nobody knows who Duddy is, FGTV Duddy, unless you have a 7 or 8 year old kid who you've pacified with an iPad for a few years.
Okay.
That's the families that know Duddy. That's the Duddy network.
Right. And those families might want to see a guy like Logan Paul or Jake Paul get knocked out by Duddy. It'll never happen.
Whoa, you're saying that Duddy's going to knock out Jake Paul?
Who knows? Maybe he's wicked fast.
Jake Paul, man. Because they're both. They're both YouTube stars. I don't think Duddy wants to fight Jake Paul.
No.
But yeah, I like where you're. Now your head is getting. These are very, very progressive marketing ideas.
Yeah.
Mikey sees the kid in the Duddy video. Chase is the son's name. It's like, I want a haircut like Chase.
Ugh.
I look at Chase. Chase has got it like totally shaved on the sides and like long on top. They call it an undercut. So I walk into Supercuts. That's where I end up taking them, right? And I'm like, Mikey thinks he's getting an undercut. You know, I'm like, I don't think that's going to, you know.
Right.
While I'm there. And it says that right on the wall. We do undercuts. We do, like, that's their marketing campaign.
Oh, they know all the hot things.
Yeah, we do undercuts. You know, we got all the hot styles at Supercuts.
Okay.
Because I don't know what that was.
So if you said, let me get a high-end tight, you think they'd know what that was? Or they?
Yeah, okay. I would presume, right?
All right.
It's all female working at Supercuts. And there's a big line. Right? Very gentrified line.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Mexican family, me and Mikey.
Gentrified or just being diverse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very diverse audience in the Supercuts.
Yeah.
And the first time I've ever seen anybody flip out at a Supercuts, this goes down, right?
Oh.
It's crowded.
A bad haircut flip out?
There's a girl in a chair, all right, getting her haircut. She's an African-American girl.
Uh-huh.
She's getting her hair straightened.
Okay.
Right? flat iron straightened out, you know, and cut, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And the woman cutting her hair,
right,
is like an aging like biker woman kind of, right? With like blonde hair.
And that Hardy t-shirt?
No, but like, yeah, kind of, you know, jeans with some sparkles on them.
Sparkly jeans and that Hardy t-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, and boots?
I don't know, maybe some boots. I don't know.
Okay.
Any very turquoise? Hard. She's like, she's working her butt off.
Like Indian right? jewelry? Like turquoise, silver, stuff like that?
No, I don't know if she had any turquoise Indian jewelry on.
Try to paint the picture.
Are all biker women wearing turquoise Indian jewelry?
In my mind.
In your mind, it is.
In my aesthetic.
Philly, the art director, he's thinking about, well, maybe she has a turquoise ring on.
And a necklace of some sort, yeah.
She had, she didn't have great teeth.
Oh.
Which amplified the comedy of what was about to go down.
Oh, yeah. Bad teeth always make things funnier, don't they? Well, you know this from Jeff.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I feel exactly. My dead tooth, Jeff. I'm missing a bicuspid. I understand what it's like to not love your teeth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But out of this woman, you know, whatever. She's cutting this young girl's hair.
The scene was funnier because she had bad teeth. Okay, let's go.
She's cutting this young woman's hair and giving her, straightening her hair, right? Uh-huh. And the girl's mother comes in, right?
Right.
Because they're about to pay. The girl's, you know, the job has been done.
Sure.
And this young girl's probably like 12 or 13, right?
Yeah.
And she does have a huge blowout, you know,
uh-huh.
And her hair has been straightened, uh-huh. right? But apparently not straightened enough for the mother's liking, right?
Okay.
And a sort of, you know, I'm not going to pay for the haircut. I don't like it. You didn't straighten it enough, you know?
Whoa.
And then the FaceTime comes on where the woman has her husband on the FaceTime, right? And Mikey's just sitting there like, he's sitting next to me. He's like, what's going on? You know, I'm like, oh, this is what happens when customers don't like the service, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, mm-hmm. And, but the way, like, then.
Did the woman that was cutting the hair at Supercuts have the famous barber line that the almighty Dino Dini used to say to me?
What was that?
We can take it off, but we can't put it back on. So, should we start slow?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the biker woman was in charge. She had spent hours working on this girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I could see, I was like, oh no, she's going to get bullied into like, you know, not this girl. Now, because it was $75 was the fee, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, whoa, $75 at Supercuts is a...
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a window. Ouch. Did I bust the window?
Yeah.
But that's what, you know, that's the amount of work that went into this. And I could see that the woman, and there was a huge line, and she had been taking all this time on her.
Oh, this poor woman.
And then this sort of shouting match ensues, right?
Uh-huh.
And the woman who cut the hair says to the girl's mother, like, she's like, well, I kept asking her throughout the whole situation if everything was okay, and she just never said anything. She just had her face buried in the phone the whole time.
Okay.
Right? It's like, this ain't about the phone, you know? Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh. And she's like, call the cops, you know? And I'm like, are the cops coming to hair? All I wanted was a haircut!
So you mean the biker chick didn't, like, snap her fingers, and all of a sudden, Dalton and Sam Elliott's character from Roadhouse didn't walk out of the back room and solve the problem?
No, Bill, they didn't.
Okay. Maybe in another life we could write a movie where Sam Elliott's character is dating the chick from Supercuts.
Maybe in another episode I could finish this story.
Well, then get to it.
Feels like biker chick. Story's going nowhere.
Yeah, what
Dalton Sam Elliott reference coming in now.
That's correct.
Coming into the story now.
All right, so there's the cops might get called.
Yeah. Finally, the woman just walks out and leaves, right? And so she stiffs her. Right, and walks out. I'm like, oh man, that stinks, you know. And then everybody keeps, you know, and I like how no one ever stepped in. Everyone was just like, quiet, face in your phone, get bury your head in your phone, you know. But it got tense, you know. And the biker woman, oh man. And so I felt bad for her, but that was the
she didn't have like a flask of Jack Daniels, but just go take a whack of it, like, who's next?
No, she might have in the back afterwards. She was the one who wound up cutting Mike's hair, though.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, wonder if we're gonna get her, you know?
Yeah.
And she had no idea who Steve Harrington was. I suppose if I had said Tommy Lee or someone like that, she would have said yes.
Vince Neil.
Right. Mike's looking for a Vince Neil cut, circa Dr. Feelgood.
His hair wasn't
like
long enough.
To, you know?
Yeah.
It's equivalent to probably what a Joe Keery.
But didn't like Mike Patton from Faith No More have like the long hair on top with the shaved sides?
A lot of people did, yeah.
Okay. So maybe if you said, hey, can you give him the Mike Patton?
No, she was like, you don't want that. She was real. She was like, you're too handsome for that. Let me do something for you, you know? And then like, and she knew that I didn't want that, you know?
Okay.
She was, you know, she was wonderful. So if you ever see, you know, a biker woman with bad teeth and blonde hair, they give great haircuts.
Oh, good to know.
And yes, Mike, I did. The tip, I doubled. It was $20. I gave her $40. I was like, here you go.
Okay.
Because I felt horrible, you know? Yeah. So people work for tips.
Yeah.
So that's been my back to school story.
Okay. That's not bad.
You said to me something outside earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You ran into Chelsea Ross actor from Hoosiers?
I did.
Where?
It was the end of my workday, and I was pulling up to, I always forget that it's closed on Mondays,
mm-hmm.
but there's like this hot dog stand and they do pizza slices and stuff. And it's in Westchester, and I love it. And I used to get like pastas and stuff from there that you could take home and like reheat.
Right.
And I'm like, and I pull up there with the intention to try to. And I'm like, oh, it's Monday, they're closed. But it also happens to be next to a Goodwill.
A Goodwill?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I'll check out the Goodwill, man. See what's going on in there, right?
So yank my, oh, drag my, me in, why don't you?
Yeah. So I'm walking out of my car. And as I'm walking out of my car, we were both walking up to the restaurant at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, it's closed. And you could see him, like, because he pulled on the door handle and it was locked.
Right.
I'm like, oh. And I yelled to him, like, it's closed, right? And he's like, it's closed.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you could tell by the voice.
And I was like, excuse me, sir.
Oh.
Are you Chelsea Ross, the actor?
Yeah.
And he goes, as a matter of fact, I am. You know?
Yeah.
And he comes up to me, and I shake his hand, and he goes, "Excuse me, I'm just gonna." He didn't have a mask on, but he's like, "Let me just stand like 6 feet away, if that's okay." I'm like, "No problem," you know, because of this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
But I started talking to him. You know, I'm like, "Oh, you still live in Chicago and everything?" He's like, "Oh yeah, me and my wife are right here in the area."
No kidding.
He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "When's the last? Have you done anything lately?" He's like, "I think he said he did something at the Goodman or at the Steppenwolf
on stage."
Yeah, like about like 4 or 5 years ago, he said.
Okay.
But he's like, I haven't really done much since then. And I was like, well, you know, I love doing Above the Law.
Oh, and you threw Above the Law at him?
Nico!
Yeah.
Nico! And I was like, Major League, obviously, Hoosiers.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you started reeling off his filmography to him.
Oh, yeah.
And Rudy, he was like, Dan Devine and Rudy.
Oh, yeah. You know, and he was like, oh, thanks, you know. And I was like, well, do you still, you know, he's like, he asked me, you know, I was like, oh, my parents were in the arts, you know, and I have a knack for recognizing other actors that I see, and I was like, I hope I didn't throw you off or anything. He's like, no, not at all, you know.
Yeah.
Who are your parents? He's very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice guy, Chelsea Ross.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was my Chelsea Ross experience.
Did you try to give the
yell? Wasn't mean like his character in Rudy, no.
Wouldn't it have been great if he had just gone, nice meeting you! Yelled like that, and you're like, yeah. Like, could you say, can you give
or
me?
Or if he had said to me, Roland, you're our captain and act like it.
Yes.
You know? No, Rudy cannot play.
Yes.
You know? Or, you know, F you, Jobu. You know, doesn't he yell at Jobu?
I bet that
Jobu
guy, I bet and, Chelsea Ross, I wonder if he's on Cameo. You know what Cameo is?
I should have asked him. He's got some great lines in movies, though. Ali!
Sure.
Nico!
Well, he has that shtick, that character down.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
That it people would want a cameo from that guy.
From Chelsea Ross?
Right. Yeah. You could have him, like, reiterate all the lines from Hoosiers. Like, I'd strap you to a pine rail. You know when Hackman kicks him out of the gym?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. Fact of the matter is, we don't get Jimmy Chitwood playing ball. We don't have a prayer.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So there was that story. And then there was my story to the ER.
Did you tell Chelsea Ross that you were just checking out a Goodwill? Were you like, yeah, I'm just here to check the
goodwill? I finished the conversation, was like, I'm going to watch him disappear so he doesn't see me slither into this Goodwill here.
He's going, hey, Chelsea.
Want to go shopping? That would have been a great idea. Like, hey, want to go check out the Goodwill? What if he had been like, absolutely.
Do you think if we call him up on the phone that he will come to a Goodwill with us and we can videotape it and put it on our website?
I don't know. Maybe.
Pat and Bill go shopping with Chelsea Ross?
We could ask.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. In Westchester.
Right. Every time you want to buy something, you hold it up and show it to Chelsea, and he either just goes, yes or no.
Yay!
No! Yes!
Yeah. Like you pull up an old like Cleveland Indians jersey and he goes, yes! Yeah. It's Major League, you know?
Boy, wait, I think we're on to something there.
Sure.
The Houlihan brothers and Chelsea Ross present Goodwillin'. Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it was the excitement from seeing Chelsea Ross, but I started to feel pressure in my chest last week.
Yeah, you did.
And
Doesn't know this. We did the show, after we taped last week's show, and if you want to listen to it, folks, I talked about my neighbor Tammy and all the other weird things in my life. You can go to hibernianradio.org to find archives.
And while we were doing that show, I was having severe anxiety, just so everybody knows.
Okay.
Yeah. My chest, like I had been feeling pressure in my chest all day long. I had called a friend of mine whose father was my old GP, who's now retired. And I'm like, hey, I got to get an appointment. Like, who do you recommend? You know, and he's like, I'll call this guy. And then I looked this guy up. I couldn't get an appointment with him until like September. And I'm like, start thinking, like, I'm like, oh my God, why am I having this chest pain?
WebMD-ing it.
Start WebMD-ing things. And, you know, but the one thing that I will say to everyone, if you're ever, ever experiencing anything like that, don't even risk. Just go straight to the ER. Last week we got out of here and I was like, I told you outside and I was like, hey, I know I told you earlier this week. I'm like, it's been subsiding and then coming back and I don't know what it is.
It's an anxiety attack.
I'm not going to risk it. We're going on vacation. You know, we're out of town for the next 3 days. I don't want to have a heart attack in someone's house.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, well, let's go. So we went to the ER. So everyone knows I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was good. I think it was the first time in my life I had ever really experienced anxiety like that.
Did they tell you it was anxiety when you got to the hospital?
Well, they told me, you probably should lose a little bit of weight, maybe.
Stop smoking.
Here's the other thing. I like my spicy foods.
Yeah.
And my acid reflux is just awful sometimes.
Okay.
And, they said it could be, you know, then I'm like, do I have something wrong with my gallbladder maybe, or is it my esophagus? And the guy's like, let us just do the test, man. We can tell by doing blood work right away sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
So you're trying to walk the doctor through what you think it might be.
Yeah.
After you've Googled it 1,000 times.
Yeah. Let me just look at the blood work and the test. We're done. We did a chest x-ray, all that stuff. I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah. So that was relieving. And then as soon as it was over, like the pain seemed to like subside a little bit.
As I told you that was going to happen.
Yeah. And I haven't really experienced anything like it since.
Oh, well, so. Mike, I went with him when we were in the car on the way home after last week's show. He's like, hey dude, you think I should go to the ER? My chest has been bothering me for like a day. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yes, you know, like you're over 40. I'm like, yeah, come on, I'll drive you over there and go with you. But I did tell him, like, Bill, have you ever had an anxiety attack before? And you're like, I don't even know what it feels like. I'm like, nobody does until they happen, right? I'm like, I think it's you should consider the fact that this might be that.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't have it as bad. Where like I know some people break out in like sweats and like a friend of mine had one. He's like, I felt like I was having a heart attack, and I know that you've had.
Yeah,
like,
I've gone to it. I got a good buddy who's had that happen to him several times where he goes. But we've all come to the conclusion that like you don't mess around with it. Like just go if it's gonna make you feel better, go. You know, and just get it looked at.
Yeah.
The doctors at this point, I think they see so much of that, especially in today's world.
Yeah.
That. It's not, you know, they treat it seriously, right? Like,
right.
I remember years ago when I went, like, I just remember the doctor kind of being like, hey, buddy, are you partying a lot this weekend? You know, like, you'd have to, I'm like, yeah. She's like, mm-hmm. You had an anxiety attack. And I'm like, oh, what's that? And she's like, it's in your head. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, have you seen the GP since? Have you made an appointment?
No, I'm setting up an appointment on a referral from my father's doctor.
Ah, there you go.
To see his old doctor's son. So I'll go. We'll do that very shortly. But I got all my results back from the hospital. Everything's good. So that's that on that kind of thing.
Yeah. Charlotte made the basketball team. She's all pumped up.
It did. Yeah, that's great.
It's, she was going out for hoops. She's one of the tallest people in the grade. I was like, she was like, should I do basketball or should I do cross country? Because she did cross country last year.
Right.
And I was like, and she liked it. Yeah. You know? And she was like, but I think that, I've been away from basketball for a year, but I'm so tall and I feel like I've become more coordinated in the last couple of years that I might enjoy it more, you know? And I was like, yeah, go out for the team.
Can you do both?
You can't, I guess. They don't allow it. It's just one or the other. There's a tryout for basketball.
Right.
So not everybody makes the team. I didn't know that it was even that cutthroat in middle school or junior high.
Yeah.
But I guess it is. And so she came home the first night with a shiner the first day, right? And I'm like, what? And the coach called me on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Houlihan, I'm like, oh no, what happened? You know, I'm like, oh, did Charlotte, was there a fight? Like, what is, you know, I'm like, uh-oh, what's up? And he's like, I just want to let you know that Charlotte's a tough kid player and she took an elbow, you know, in the paint tonight and kept playing. But you should take a look at it when, you know, she gets home and, you know. And then Charlotte got home. She said, the coach said at the end of the practice that we need more players like me. And I was like, oh, really? I was like, you're going to make the team. Yeah.
Throwing some bows.
No, I think he's just like, this kid's tough. She's going to just keep playing and not, you know, wimp out on the rest of the team. And that's the kind of drive that the Bulldogs are looking for this
Good.
Year.
Good. All right.
The Bulldogs.
Okay.
But I'm excited for Charlotte. Like, I wonder if she'll really embrace it this time around, you know?
You can only hope.
Well, she got pretty last year was her first year, like, where she started feeling, like, competitive in sports. Like, she was into it, you know? She went downstate for the track thing.
Right.
So kind of getting hyped up about that. And she's going to high school next year. This is her last year of junior high.
Yep.
So she's got a little bit of a swagger about her, too. She's like, I'm going to be in high school now, you know? Like, which makes me extremely nervous, you know? Anyway, we're going to do a commercial break, and we'll be back.
Hey, listeners. I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the Southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Don't touch that dial. The Hooli's Hooli returns in just a moment.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
On the Death Walk of Saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
Welcome back.
Final Billy Joel.
Pressure. Is this playing in the emergency room in your head?
No.
You're like, please, can a nurse come see me soon?
Who's actually watching the White Sox lose? That's been enough pressure to give anybody a heart attack this year because they just lost again tonight. Gosh.
You don't have money on them, though.
No, I just have a lot like, of love invested in them, and it's not working out.
You've had a lot of love invested in them, and that's causing your anxiety. Doctor.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with work. It has everything to do with the White Sox this season.
Right. What's giving you heart palpitations? The White Sox. Do you have money around it? No. I'm just a big fan.
Yeah.
And I worry about them. They need them to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been disappointing of late.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're heart attack inducing yet. How do you think Tony La Russa is? You know?
Right.
He's got some pressure going. That song, the Billy Joel song, is playing La Russa's head all night during the game.
Yeah.
Tony La Russa gave my son Mike a ball recently when we went to the game.
That's right. You talked about that last week.
He redeemed himself for me this season. Okay. Like, no, can't hate on Tony now. Tony's good to the kids.
Yeah.
I came across a record the other day. Like, I'm starting to geek out because the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame is coming up, right? And I've been producing the event. And we've been producing these videos, right? They're like highlight videos of inductee members, and we've had a lot of fun making them.
Sure.
We've made them for social. They haven't launched yet, but we're building a content library out. So I find myself going down these, like, you know, wormholes on the internet of, like, sports highlights and stuff like that. And maybe that's why all of a sudden I'm like, hey, Carmel football, you know, like, I'm getting all nerdy about sports again.
Yeah.
And for years I was, you know, an artsy snob, comedy snob, you know. And anyway, I'm finding all these videos, and that's, I don't know what I was, where I was going the story.
What?
I've been nerding out on the sports and the videos. So that's what I was getting at.
Should we tell the audience about Uncle Kevin?
Uncle Kevin?
Yeah.
The thought concept about it that we were having?
I don't know how we came up with this concept the other night, but we were sitting on your couch.
And you were teasing me because I think I was, like, I might have been moody and said something to you, and I might have gone outside on, like, my deck and had a cigarette. And I was, I don't know, maybe I was eating, like, junk food or something. And you were like, you know, would it be really funny if you did, like, a spinoff on Home Alone? Where it was Macaulay Culkin plays a guy named Uncle Kevin.
Yes.
And he has to watch his, you know, like, his siblings' kids, and he's single and never been married. And he's the total opposite of what the Kevin McAllister you see in Home Alone is. He's, like, really mean. But he takes on the characters of, you know, it's an homage to another John Hughes movie with, like, he's got, like, a mix of Uncle Buck in him, too. You know, where you could
Have
a lot
we
of
were
funny
talking,
stuff about
it. I don't think I insulted you and you went outside. I don't know why I called you Uncle Kevin. I can't remember how it came up, but I don't remember you going, nah, 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 and going out on the porch and smoking, and then us coming up with the concept. The concept was, I don't know how we came upon it, was that I think it was we were coming up with Christmas movie ideas.
Yes.
Right?
Something like this.
And I said, oh, there should be a reboot, a Christmas movie called Uncle Kevin, where it's Macaulay Culkin plays, like, a bust-out Kevin McAllister, like the kid who grew up in the house in Home Alone or whatever, and now he's, you know,
the college dropout. He's, you know, he's hangs out in bars, never been married, no kids, numerous failed relationships.
He's borderline. It's like you take the Bad Santa piece, a little bit of Terry Zwigoff, and you throw it into McAllister and Culkin,
right? And he still loves cheese pizza, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's got, like, weird idiosyncrasies.
Oh, yeah, he loves cheese.
Like, every time he's in a drugstore, he's got to steal a toothbrush.
Right.
Like, he always has, like, he has these weird things about him that have caused his demise.
Right. Whenever he's hammered at a bar, he tells the bartender to keep the change, filthy animal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sure, we can write all that stuff in.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if the studios are listening, the concept is Uncle Kevin.
Yeah. It's a this Christmas, we got 3 months to shoot it.
The Houlihan brothers have been devising Macaulay Culkin vehicles in their kitchen for Hollywood. We have a strong belief that Uncle Kevin could be a warm-hearted, hard PG-13 Christmas comedy, right?
Maybe R.
Oh, you think it's got to be R?
I think it's got to be R to be really good.
Oh, you want him to be kind of, you want Uncle Kevin to get debaucherous.
I want Uncle Kevin to be just a sleaze bag to the nth degree.
So does Johnny DeRito, right?
Absolutely.
Talent agent. Now, I think Uncle Kevin's got to be a total sleaze bag. Got to have him be a sleaze bag. Have Kevin McAllister become a sleazebag.
If Macaulay Culkin said he wouldn't play the part, who would you get to reboot?
There's no movie. If Macaulay Culkin can't do, you can't make Uncle Kevin without Macaulay Culkin. When the whole thing is that Macaulay, it's the same kind of thing. Like, didn't Nick Cage just do a movie where he sort of played himself? Nicolas Cage, he plays
did.
An actor.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's a Brechtian component of Macaulay Culkin coming in and acknowledging that he's Uncle Kevin. Mike has a good note. Is there a redemption arc in the story? Of course there is. It's a Christmas film.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of It's a Wonderful Life in there. There's an angel, Clarence.
He's a crackhead that Uncle Kevin knows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's played by Tracy Morgan.
Sure. Perfect.
And, you know, there's a bar like Martini's, Mr. Martini.
Yeah.
Except it's Myers and Wilmette.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to take place in Wilmette. He's got maybe Uncle Kevin still lives in the house from Home Alone. It's like all he's got left is the house.
Oh, he inherited it from his parents?
Yeah, he's like a recluse, though. You know, he just gets rocked and
But what happened to, like, what about his brother Buzz and all those people? Like, they didn't get a piece of the action?
No, they all died in a plane crash.
Just, yeah, can we get is Catherine O'Hara, Catherine O'Hara get a cameo?
Does she get a cameo in Uncle Kevin? Absolutely. Yeah. She's his mother.
Because, I mean,
she lives in like Palm Springs. Because she's got tons of money.
John Candy's deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And then who plays his father? He's deceased as well, I believe.
John Hurd.
John Hurd is deceased.
Yep.
So all you really have left, and I'm sure the old man.
The shovel man from next door.
He's not alive anymore.
Right?
If he is, God bless him. He's like 110.
Right?
Right.
Joe Mike has a note. Does Joe Pesci come
Pesci
back?
Pesci and Danny Stern. They're like friends with Kevin. Kevin's like their buddy.
Yeah.
They like he's like their lackey.
He's like they recruited him in.
Yeah.
Because he was too they thought he was super smart. And then when he busted out, they were like, we could use this kid. McAllister was like, guys, I think you need me on your team. You know?
They're like, wait a minute. Are they in Home Alone 2? I don't even remember Home Alone 2. I think they did a Home Alone 3.
Danny Stern and Pesci are still alive.
I know, but are they in 2 and 3? Did they make it 2 and 3? I know they made it 2. I don't know if they did it 3.
Donald Trump's in one of the Home
Alone. He is in one of the
Home
Alone.
Maybe we can get Donald Trump's in Uncle Kevin. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You're a complete bust out, Kevin.
Yeah, right.
Look at the beautiful house you grew up in Wilmette.
You're
it's a
loser.
Shame that your father and your siblings were killed in a plane crash. I do understand that people go down a hole there. But you have a terrible methamphetamine habit. Your taste in music is awful.
Yeah. And you like cheese pizza better than Big Macs.
Right. Good luck to you.
Forgot that Trump is in one of the Home Alones.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Well, you know, if anybody else has got any ideas.
If Hollywood's listening.
Yeah. Uncle Kevin, we just wrote it
Uncle
in the last
Kevin is the
four
premise.
Minutes.
It's a Christmas holiday reboot movie, and it's going to make everybody very, very rich again.
Yeah.
That makes the movie. Would Chris Columbus write that script for us?
Did he write Home Alone, Chris Columbus? Is he the writer on that?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes, he wrote it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We could... Uncle Kevin might be a little too risque for Chris Columbus.
Well,
but we'd have to use a lot of his.
Yeah, he would. He owns. I'm sure he
rights.
And John Hughes own the rights a lot. Well, I don't know how that works. If you can, like, how blatant. No, you don't have. You can make an homage and reference to those films without having to pay rights to those movies when you
right.
make them.
Right, like the racetrack scene where you know Uncle Buck's gonna go bet at the racetrack and he sees the kids in the back seat. You know, you have one of those with Uncle Kevin and his nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
And Tracy Morgan in the front seat.
Tracy Morgan
crack.
Riding shotgun. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. We're at the end.
Yeah.
What a weird episode this week. Couldn't get on track this week. Normally I have funny stories.
Well, it's been weird because we're transitioning into
the fall?
Indian summer. As you
yeah, oh, it's Indian. We're going to blame the content on Indian summer tonight.
No, I don't know.
Oh, I hope. I know our listeners enjoy listening to us babble.
Yeah.
If you've enjoyed the last hour, you go to Hibernian Radio and find archives there, or you can go to iTunes and search for Hooli's Hooli Show. Do want to thank the sponsors again, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Beverly Pizza, Flood Brothers Disposal, mm-hmm. Madden Funds, and Guinness Irish Stout. Until That's next correct. Week, what are we going out with here, Lil Saw? Oh, is this Heart?
It is not Heart. Mike's trying to give Patty the sign because he doesn't know who it is.
It's Hard in My Heart is the song, though. Quarter Flash?
Oh. Quarter Flash, everyone. Harden My Heart.
This is a jam. Bye.
See you next week.